There is this poem attributed to Chaucer. It goes by the title Chaucer's Words Unto Adam, his own scriven, but it was not published until well after his death in a compilation by John Shirley, who's like a whole other king caboodle. What is your read on the poem and its relevance to the Pinkhurst debate?
Adam Scrivain, if ever it they befall, Boes or Troilus, for to written new, under thee long lookest, thou must have the scholar, but after me mocking, thou read more true. So after die, he mote thee work renew, it to correct an egg to Ruben scrapper, and all is thorch the negligence and rapper. There you
Amazing.
Go. Yeah, that's Chaucer's Ooh. Words, ah, Geoffrey, unto Adam his own scribe. Yeah, my take on that is, I think I will say that that's become kind of what people who don't really want to go along with what I have to say pick up on, and what a few of them go ahead and say. James Simpson, dear friend and wonderful scholar, Catherine Kirby Fulton has been very important in my career as well. They both have said, oh, Lawrence Warner says that this is not by Chaucer. Well, how can, you know, I don't say this is not by Chaucer. What I try to say, and maybe I wasn't as clear about it as I should have been, if you want to say that Adam Pinkhurst is Chaucer's scribe, then this poem, first of all, must be by Chaucer, and second of all, must be about Adam Pinkhurst.
Mm-hmm.
Since neither of those is guaranteed, and in fact, I would say the chances of the first are maybe 50-50. I'm pretty skeptical that Chaucer wrote this. And the chances of the second that it's about Adam Pinkhurst, I think, are almost, you know, whatever, 10% or so. And even if they both were true, that does not mean that Adam Pinkhurst wrote the very reasons why we first got interested, you would think, that is, that he wrote these two Chaucer manuscripts, are out the window because he simply didn't write those two manuscripts. So my take is this. Maybe Chaucer wrote this poem, and maybe it's about his historical scribe who worked with him called Adam. And maybe that Adam was Adam Pinkhurst. To go in order, first of all, there's a lot about it that doesn't make sense if it's by a poet. It makes more sense, and I'm not the first to say this, H.S.G. Edwards said it as well. It makes more sense, really, if this is by a scribal supervisor. That's the kind of person who would be rubbing and scraping. But whatever, it still could be by Chaucer. Then, if it is by Chaucer and about a historical scribe, why would we assume that the Adam is Pinkhurst? He is a candidate, but there's another candidate called Adam Stedeman, who actually was a scribe who was found guilty of inserting his name into a will or something like that. I mean, really very dodgy stuff. You know, he would be a pretty good candidate, and he was there at the time and place.
Mm.
And third of all, let's back up and say, okay, it's by Chaucer, and it's about Adam Pinkhurst. Well, okay, let's say that Adam Pinkhurst is Chaucer's personal scribe. That's certainly possible. It was always possible. We've been saying that since 1921.
Yes.
Right. But that has no bearing on this discovery by Lynn Mooney. She's not the one who said that. I forget who it was. And, you know, she's the one who, to her credit, went and looked at Adam Pinkhurst's handwriting. But it's only when she saw that the handwriting, in her opinion, matched the Chaucer's, that she went for it. I'll also say, I have seen lots of the early and listened to accounts from Jane Robertson in her archives, the early discussions of this, and it isn't the case that Pinkhurst was the first candidate. I mean, Lynn Mooney had other candidates in mind, which makes perfect sense. And actually, not even named Adam. At one point, she wrote to Jane Roberts and said, oh, I found him. And it just wasn't. You know, again, I've done this. I'm not at all saying there's something wrong. That's how it works. I mean, I've done that many times. Mm-hmm. I found something, and I write a friend or a colleague. So I hope I'm not speaking out of turn or anything. I'm not at all trying to say there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying any assumption that, oh, the truth kind of came to her like all at once right away. I mean, that's just not a fair representation of what scholarship is. And I think Lynn Mooney would agree with me for sure. And also, it's the case that other people took a look, like Malcolm Parks just did not think that this handwriting matched. In fact, what he did think was that this handwriting matched one manuscript, which was that Pierce Plowman. This poem by, you know, Unto Adam His Own Scribe, really, it's a separate issue from the handwriting issue. And it's because they're mutually reinforcing that the whole thing is so delicious, as it were. You know, I mean, it's all together. Yeah. We all knew this poem. We all didn't have access to this handwriting. And suddenly we have this perfect puzzle solution presented to us. But really, it's separate issues that if one's true, then the other one seems to make sense. And if the other makes sense, then the first one must be true. But neither of them on its own really works.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. And I do find it interesting how sometimes things can be represented in their own way, because when I read this poem for the first time, I immediately had a feeling of like, this kind of sounds like someone referring to the biblical Adam as a representation for this scribe, as someone that takes a beautiful work written by God or the author and through negligence and rape, rubs and scrapes and messes it up. So I think it could even just be a pseudonym that would make sense to a biblical-minded society and readership at that time.
For sure. Yeah. A guy called R.E. Kasky wrote something about that, like, quite early on.
Mm.
Well, I don't know if you talked about this poem. I knew when I wrote about it, but you're absolutely right. That Mooney says in her essay, knowledge that there was this historical Pinkhurst means that this figural reading, the one that bringing up, Dylan, isn't true. The thing is, that's circular. Like, how do we have that knowledge? We don't have that knowledge. That knowledge is an assumption. And it also can be both. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, sure, it could be an Adam in real life. And Chaucer was exploiting that. Or it could be, that's why I was saying early on in my response to this, it could be that it's not a historical scribe at all, that he does have in mind the first Adam. You know, who was the first scribe, as it were, that kind of thing. Yeah. That's a problem for the claim. And so I just, in my defense, as far as recent, I've been kind of surprised at some of the responses to all this that have come out. I never said that Chaucer couldn't have written. In fact, I'm very clear. If he did write it, there are other problems that arise about meter, point of view, but maybe he wrote it. You know, those can be solved. I'm not saying he didn't write it, but I'm saying even if he did, that there's still other problems that arise. And I think that some of these need to be worked through more carefully if people want to stick up for Adam Pinkhurst as Chaucer's scribe.